What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Vestair Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Vestair products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Thank you so much for being here. I know it's been a couple of days. I was so excited to do this show because I was really looking forward to getting the autopsy results from the independent autopsy that was performed on Nolan Wells. Now, recall, Nolan Wells went out with a bunch of friends on Horn Island in Mississippi on July 4th to celebrate with good buddies. I think you can tell by this picture, at least the camaraderie we can really see here. And what started out as being really just a beautiful time amongst friends, unfortunately, went really south. And it was kind of interesting. All of the ways that everything came together, meaning you go out, everybody's having a great time. And then by multiple accounts, he went to go see about a girl, as they say. And even according to the girl, she had talked to him and so forth, but he had decided to go back. Whatever it was, it didn't work out between the two. It's interesting because people want to say that those are two different accounts, but they're not two different accounts. I think they're accounts at different times. Nevertheless, the boys that you see here, they went back on the boat. There were all sorts of issues with the bilge pump, which is the pump that pumps the water, keeps the water out of the boat, keeps it from sort of sinking, if you will. It doesn't mean when your bilge pump fails, it doesn't mean you're going down right away. I think that from what I've seen when I'm looking at all the responses online, I think a lot of people don't boat, have never owned a boat, have never had a bilge pump, have never gone rafting, have never been in a riptide, have never enjoyed these sort of outings. And I think it's that situation that is helping really cloud sort of a lot of the opinions and obscure sort of what's going on. Just like me, I've never, as an example, operated in a hot air balloon. I've been up in one, but never operated one. I don't know what it's like to be in a balloon multiple times a week, what it would be like to be caught up in some sort of windstorm that could take a balloon down, or an issue with the fire that, you know, that makes the steam that would keep the hot air balloon going. I don't know anything about hot air balloons, but I know about boating. Having lived in the Virgin Islands for many years, literally going out on our boat twice a week, if not more. And so at being a part of these raft ups twice a week, you know, it's really becomes a huge part of your life and a part of your world and something you look forward to. And this was what this area was like to this community on the 4th of July weekends, other times. I mean, you have to ask yourself, how many times did these boys go out together? Right? They knew each other from where they grew up. You know, all of a sudden, was this the time that these boys wanted to commit the evil act of murder? anyway, they go back on the boat. I went through the whole timeline on another segment, so I hate to repeat myself with the time we have here. But nevertheless, what I really want to get down and dirty with are a couple of things. First of all, his celebration of life was on Monday. And by all accounts, it was quite a celebration. There were stars there like Spike Lee, Terrell Owens, who plays football, used to play for the Cowboys, now plays for Miami. For those of you in the football, care about football, Spike Lee, of course, is a very influential Hollywood individual, and many, many others that were there. They celebrated his life. You could see his friends were there. His friends of all colors were there to celebrate him and to say goodbye to him. It's so sad. It really is, because no matter what way you cut it, this is an 18-year-old that's no longer with us. And I think all of us were very much looking forward to this autopsy results. And I've looked over what was said. I wanted to show one more picture before I get into the autopsy. And we'll talk about it on the other side. But this is film footage. It's from TMZ. TMZ has the money, the resources, and the bandwidth to get this film footage like this before anyone else does. They just do. They have so many reporters and people that are working for them. They're really quite amazing with celebrity news, with news like this, a lot of true crime. Remember, they were the first ones with the film footage of Tyler Robinson accused of murdering Charlie Kirk, and many other cases too. Footage on the Celeste Rivas case as an example. So they got this film. Let's take a look at it and talk about it on the other side. Slow-mo. See him right there? Again, see him. So I wanted to bring up, I showed this right when it came out, and I thought it was really important to get a true feel of what this atmosphere was like. There are literally people saying this was a deserted island. It was desolate. Nobody was around. Please don't listen to those people. They are full of horse crap, or they just don't know what they're talking about, or they want to pretend they know what they're talking about. They got into the case late. I don't know what the reason is, and I don't know who all is saying it, but I know it's been said because I see it all the time coming up in my feed. But Jen, this person says this. I'm like, no, we've had this film footage, similar footage, since right after this all happened, because many people came forward with their footage. News Nation has had it. Again, TMZ has had it. I'll talk about it while we watch it one more time. It says allegedly him. You know, I looked really closely. There's a lot of great close-ups. He has the same bathing suit on that he had when he left that we see here in this picture. I believe that same. Do you see where they're leaning against that on the boat? I believe it's him. There weren't a lot of African-American males out there, although there were some. So I think this is him. I feel pretty sure about it. I've seen lots of footage from that day. This was a very crowded place, and there was a lot going on, as in all raft ups. This is your normal, average, everyday raft up situation. And so anyway, I just wanted to make it clear that it's not what people are saying.
Well, a wonderful evening, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to invite us to come in.
Apologies for that. Nevertheless, this was a group that got together and went out. And my point is that unlike what wants to be put forward, this wasn't like they took him into this, you know, desolate place on this island for their nefarious ways that they were going to attack and harm this black man. There is no information, and I'm strictly going to present facts here. There are zero facts. In fact, the facts are opposite of that. What we see here is opposite of that. What you just saw in that film is opposite of that. There is no indication of anything along that sort. So I just wanted to get that clear. I mean, look, we're on the 22nd. This happened clear on the 4th of July. It's not like this happened yesterday. There's a lot of film footage coming out. There's a lot of information from individuals coming out that were there. There's individuals talking about Nolan being intoxicated. There's individuals coming out, the United Cajun Navy, saying, listen, he was found fully clothed. It's interesting, that word, verbiage, fully clothed. What does that mean to everybody? Does it mean he just had his swim trunks on? Did he put a shirt on? When I see fully clothed, it, you know, to me means everything he had on again. If he had a shirt, he might have put a shirt on. Again, we don't know the timing past approximately 3 o'clock. That's all that has been put forward in the media, is this 3 o'clock time frame when his buddies last saw him. That's the only time frame that I've heard for sure that's been given to us. If anybody in chat has anything beyond that, I would love to know it. But my whole thing is, I take a piece of information with each of the facts in this case and I go forward, and it's been ridiculous. Half the time, more than half, in almost every instance, I get to the genesis of the information, and it's not any credible source. It's not law enforcement. It's not a witness. It isn't a Cajun Navy person. It's literally just somebody making up or exacerbating what was said. Again, another point of exacerbation was that everything was erased from his phone. Remember what his mom said, that there were no snaps, there was no like movies, snap movies, and she would have expected to see that. That got extrapolated from Crump, the attorney, to things were erased. Well, no, she didn't say that. Nobody has said anything was erased. That was a jump to a conclusion that fit a narrative. And that's just wrong. What we need are just strictly facts here. Again, I already went through the GPS timeline, which showed nothing nefarious, zero, going to that area. Again, going to a boat ramp area that you would need to get towed from. Again, I think a lot of the problem is not people maybe not being boaters and not understanding that, for instance, when you're towed, they aren't necessarily going to want to come tow you from this island unless you can't make it. I'm sure discussions were had about that, whether they thought they could make the trip back to the mainland, where they would meet, the availability of the towing service. Remember, it's not like you just snap your fingers and the tow boat comes. No. And it has to be decided with the owner. Where is the boat going to be towed to? Where can they fix a bilge pump in that particular kind of boat? You can't just have a tow company come and not know where it's going to. So it made total sense to me that they went back to the origination point of where the boat originated from, in terms of dropping extra people off, having people stay with who was going to be the tow. If people can think of it like a vehicle, if you were had a vehicle, say you took a car ferry, say on St. John's Island, something like that, St. John Island, and you went and your car got stranded, right? Well, you would have to coordinate all of that. What ferry that you were able to get the boat from, what tow truck can take it to the ferry, where you're going to want it to go once you get on the mainland, what mechanic is going to look at it, blah, 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 blah. There was a lot to work out that these boys had to figure out, probably in somewhat of an inebriated state. Meanwhile, again, according to the facts, Nolan said, I'm staying back. I got to see about a girl. Didn't work out. Tells the girl, I'm going to go back to the boat. Remember, he told the boys he was going to get another boat ride back. A lot of people are making a big thing out of it when the boys were asked about, is everybody okay on the boat? Well, yeah, everybody was okay on the boat. Nolan wasn't on the boat. So what they're asking about is your crew, are the people you have there, is anyone in distress? Is there any problems? Is, you know, anybody having any issues? That is what was asked and what was answered. So for people to make a big deal about it, oh, see, they didn't mention Nolan was back. They had no idea anything was wrong with Nolan. So that's why they gave that answer. I want to get on to the autopsy.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
FinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit FinQuest.com for more details.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
The autopsy was performed by a doctor named Dr. Mitchell. Okay, he is a Black pathologist. He was educated at Howard University. That's an all-Black university. I'm just giving you facts here so you know, because a lot of people want to know, did they choose a white one? Did they choose a Black doctor? Where was he from? Where was he educated? That's the background. I'm so tired of everything being race-centric, where you think you can't even mention, you know, the details. Well, I'm going to mention details because to me, I see people as just people. I don't see people. I do not see this picture involving color. I see this picture involving buddies. My boys have played football since they were 4 years old, and they've played in the South. The majority of their teams, my son's Division I football team was 90%+ Black. Do you think anyone ever cared about that? No. I mean, it's so ridiculous that people see this way in this day and age that we are in. Okay, I'm off my soapbox. This is just how I feel about color and how I feel about my personal friends. And it's just alarming to see the card being played over and over again in this case. What everybody wants are facts. We now know from the United Cajun Navy the exact circumstances which Nolan Wells was found. And I want to quote the quote so I don't misspeak. The exact quote is that he was found face down, quote, fully clothed on Horn Island in an area that was notorious for riptides. These riptides, again, I think for people who aren't swimmers, who aren't boaters, who are not in this atmosphere, which I believe are a lot of the people that maybe are misinterpreting this information, a riptide grabs you like that, whew, pulls at you. It is unbelievably strong. It's like literally having some sort of wave that surrounds you and yanks you, can yank you under depending on. And the other thing is you can be standing there in 3 feet of water up to your knees and go straight down. I'm going to tell you about the worst one I was personally in. It was in the British Virgin Islands, and we were all out there surfing. So we're out there surfing. There's probably 20 of us, a huge group out there. And I was taking longer. All the adults were up. All of the kids were back. My son and daughter were around 10 at the time. And then we had a little one. And anyway, I was out there surfing, and I got off my surfboard to join everyone. And I stepped off into about, I don't know, maybe 4 feet of water. It was enough where my head was still above. And then all of a sudden, the tide came and just grabbed me out. And I personally have been taught, I know you're supposed to swim parallel, but I have always been taught to go with it, never to fight and waste your energy. So I just let it go with me because I know that it's going to push me back. As strong as it pulls you in, it then pushes you back. But then it grabs you again. So like you're in this thing. We called it the blender. It's called Apple Bay is specifically where I was at. So the next time I get closer and I'm literally shin high in water and it comes again. And I am immediately trying to go this way. I'm actually yelling for help, yelling. My son and daughter both came out, tried to help me. My son's an amazing swimmer, even at 10. My daughter was small, but she actually tried to throw me the another surfboard. And when she threw it, the riptide sent the board back so strong, everyone. It lifted the board out and smashed my daughter, who, as I said, was about 10, in the face. Her nose started bleeding. Her mouth started bleeding. Of course, she ran off crying. Meanwhile, all the adults are kind of a little bit further down, not really paying attention much to all this commotion. Anyway, long story short, I got out of it by finally getting myself sort of parallel swimming and staying high above the water, not having my legs down, but getting more flat. That's probably the worst one I've been in. But for anybody who has boat any significant amount of time, it happens all the time. It depends. Are you in 2 feet of water, 3 feet of water? It's when you're in 4 or 5 that you start getting in trouble because the shelf just drops out and you're treading water at that point. I just wanted to explain to you, I'm not saying I'll wait for all the information to come out, but I am saying that this is not unusual. There's been multiple deaths, by the way, on Horn Island in Mississippi, in this area, from riptides. This isn't something that is unusual. This is something that a seasoned boater would know to look for. This is something these kids know about. They might think they're big and strong and able to defeat them, but no one can defeat them unless A, you are a very good swimmer, and B, you don't panic, and C, you know how to move. So, but there's people all around again. This was a situation that you're going to be the most safe you can be in these riptide situations, but it doesn't mean that if you're, you know, on the side, if you're, you know, that you can't get pulled under with nobody paying attention because everybody's out drinking, they're having a good time. We still haven't seen toxicology. Again, I don't mean to digress because I know I did a little and I can't wait to see your comments, but I know I did digress, but I thought it was very important for people to really get a visual and sort of understanding about rip currents and riptides and how strong and pervasive they are in this area on July 4th. You can just go back and look at the weather report. It was very dangerous day that day for these kids to be out there, especially out there drinking. I want to bring up the most important things about Dr. Robert Mitchell's conclusions. The two most important things, and it went throughout the report, undetermined, undetermined manner, undetermined cause, and just a lot else that he couldn't determine. Now, why couldn't he determine it? Well, it was perfect. I mean, I say perfect. It was interesting to me. that so much was undetermined, because I have trouble putting together how the photographic evidence from the other autopsy would not have been given to him. It's really not talked about, but during an autopsy, the internal organs are taken out. I've been at autopsy. I literally, he's like handing me the kidney and I'm putting it up on a scale for him to weigh. A lot of autopsies aren't done as you might think, particularly ones that are not done in a normal environment where they normally go. In other words, in the U.S. Virgin Islands, we had to fly them out there from Miami. We had to use a room at the hospital. There weren't a lot of resources, so you were the resource, being the autopsy ME helper. But you're there no matter what. That's what I wanted to make clear. If you are an agent, if you are a detective, you're there at autopsy. I hope everybody understands that. You are there because it's so critical that you get information right away. Is his mandible broken? Is his skull fractured? Does he have contusions? Any bones broken on his throat? Is there any bruising? Are there lacerations, like from a sharp object? Is there anything that would denote foul play? Is there water in his lungs? Meaning, did he go in the water and breathe in and drowned? Or was he already unconscious when he went into the water, and therefore meaning he could not actively drown? Right? So these are things that I was trying to point out. The detectives would have already known. No, the autopsy report. Imagine if you do a bunch of work on something and then you have to put it into a report. Like my brother is an architect and he goes to all of these hotels and he does all of these inspections, basically. So even though he's an interior architect by education, what he actually does is he goes into all of these hotels. He does just big commercial structures from A to Z. He looks at them. Is there issues with the plumbing? Is there electrical? Is there structural? Blah, 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 blah. And it takes him sometimes days to do that, you can imagine, with these huge hotels. And then he has to put in a report. Well, his reports take him sometimes weeks. It's the same in many jobs that you all have, right? The report is the hardest part. You take the notes. So if you can think of it as the same way with autopsy, they're going through and saying things, writing notes, and the detectives are asking questions, but then they have to take all of that and reduce it into writing, into great detail, with sketches, with, I don't know how many of you have seen them. I'm sure you're all true crimers. Many of you have seen an autopsies. There's sketches. It's funny. It's like archaic writing. Half the time you can't even read. They've got like a little line pointing at where they're pointing at on the body. It's insane. So then they go through and they type out what they found. That's why the autopsy reports always take longer. This one would have taken a lot less time because even though this one, by the way, was done on the 10th, so still 12 days before he had, quote unquote, a preliminary report, they take a long time. And he didn't even have to do anything with all the internal organs, with the throat. A lot of that information, it has to be taken out. And he well wrote that in the autopsy. He said it's normal, should happen, but he needs to see the pictures for now him to make some conclusions. Again,
what's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast!
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
He concluded that there were no fractures, there were no breaks, there's no lacerations, there's no bruising. Did you get all of that? No lacerations, no broken bones, no broken skull, no bruising, nothing. Nothing like that on the body. He said there was a redness on the head, but did not denote blunt force trauma. I mean, imagine what redness could be from. As an example, if I get, and remember, this is Mississippi in the summer. If I get a mosquito bite and it bites me and I start rubbing it, I'm going to have redness from where I rubbed it. If I am in a rip current and then pulled back in, there's a chance he could have scraped by something, whether that's rock, whether that's coral, whether that is even the sand itself, because the sand, you know, is firm. And if that riptide pulled him in, could that have caused? But he denoted no laceration, no blunt force trauma, no contusions, everyone, no bruising. The best they could come up with that they talked about was a redness on the back of the head. Which I pointed out, that could be redness. I don't know about you all, but get redness from a lot of things. I was even wondering if it could be from the sun. They didn't discuss it. They didn't really say. You know how, like, for me, my part will get red? I don't know. They said redness. That's all that's said. Also, remember, he had gone through autopsy. So as a person is laying there, and we saw this in different cases, when you're on the autopsy table and these, you know, autopsies being performed, blah, 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 you know, the body is being moved and turned over and flipped. There's lividity going on, which is where, you know, the blood is through gravity is forming. A person looks so much more bruised. But there's a big difference in these MEs know, the difference between bruising and lividity. So nevertheless, I just wanted to go over the facts. No lacerations, no bruising. Now, this is what's interesting, is he said, however, he can't say one way or the other, foul play or no foul play, because he still doesn't have all the information he needs. He wants those photographs. He wants the photographs of all the organs. He wants to see the throat area. He wants to see all that more closely so he can make more determinations. And so that's why essentially he says undetermined. So basically what we have, in my view, after listening to the entirety of the presentation by Crump, who is the attorney for the family, is big goose egg. And they don't really have anything because it's undetermined, because he didn't get to see everything he wished to see to be able to make a determination. So there you have it. We're just going to have to wait on the other autopsy. And then I'm sure Dr. Mitchell, he will follow up with more information after he receives more information from the prosecution side. But it's undetermined. So it was a goose egg. That's at the end of the day, what you would have expected to see if there was some smoking gun is laceration, signs of a fight, bruising, defensive wounds, contusion on the head, marks on the exterior throat. I know he still wants to look at the interior, like the esophagus, the trachea, which was removed, which he said is normal. But you have to really wade through, in my opinion, a little bit of the cherry picking that happened, where they're focusing on, oh, he had a red spot on his head. That's not a contusion, everyone. It's not a bruise. It's not a laceration. So, nevertheless, it's important that all the facts come out. It's certainly important for us to see the prosecution. And again, no one has toxicology yet. Toxicology is going to be key. If he had a beer and was under the legal limit, nevertheless, you can get caught in a rip current. But it won't be determined likely if they determine this an accident. The ones in all these cases we've seen, Riley Strain's case and Brandon Bone's case, or sorry, Brennan Santos, Brian Bone. I mean, there's so many that have happened with these young men. I mean, their intoxication levels were through the roof, you know, double, sometimes almost triple the blood alcohol level. I mean, they were, you know, in poison. They were really poisoned. We don't know what we're going to see here. We have really no idea. But that's going to be interesting. I think the toxicology will be so key in this. But because we see from their side nothing that indicates anything, just a Emmy saying, I'm not going to say one way or the other about anything, we have goose egg. So we'll wait for the other report to come out. We'll wait for the grand jury's decision on this. A lot of people have said, Jen, why would there be a grand jury if there weren't anything nefarious? Let me tell you, first of all, some people might not know this, grand juries are always in existence. In Mississippi, I believe there are 15 to 23 individuals on a grand jury at any one time. There has to be 12 individuals that either that true bill somebody. So that you'd have to have 12 people, say it's 23 or say it is 15. It doesn't matter. You have to have 12 to true bill somebody. In other words, say somebody is found by probable cause to be charged. No bills, again, are where a grand jury has said, listen, we've seen the evidence and we're no billing these kids if they end up doing that, or whoever the prosecution asks, you know, what is your determination for these individuals? Or if there's somebody else, some neutral party we've never heard about, some party that was there that, you know. So in a grand jury, you don't have to have a suspect necessarily. You literally are just presenting information. I would go in there and say, present about a subpoena that came in. I would present about other facts that came on, other about an interview I just got done doing, right? So you come in and you keep feeding the grand jury the facts, and then they ultimately are going to make a decision if they're called to do so. So it's not unusual in a case like this. I can tell you what. They, meaning the defense, the family, everybody is already accusing the police, the prosecutors, of not being transparent, of, you know, trying to hide something. I mean, I was on a show with Chris Cuomo where somebody that's a civil rights activist accused these boys of murder. She called them murderers. And she kind of caught herself, said, well, you know, we don't exactly know yet. I don't know how you could possibly throw out such terms. And we heard it today too, when Crump, I mean, I'm at a loss how people could possibly call people murderers and lump cases together as having the same facts when they don't. I was appalled. I'm going to tell you, I was appalled at some of the statements that were said. And I would be appalled. I don't care if it were three black men and a white man that didn't come back that drowned. I would be appalled at anybody saying, you know, this is like the other cases, and these murderers must be held responsible in this general format. I was so disappointed, everyone. I truly was. But nevertheless, those are the facts. I'm not trying to integrate my personal feelings on this case. I'm going to wait, but I am going to interject my personal feelings on the response, because it's just terrible to try to infuse that these boys didn't love each other, that these boys didn't all care about each other. That's why they were out. Again, I wonder how many trips they'd made like this. Probably so many. Listen, I want to end by saying this. Riley Strain, for those of you who remember him, Riley Strain went out partying. He had so many drinks before they ever went to any bars. A lot of boys and girls, they preload. They call it pregame. Preload, pregame, I've heard mostly pregame. They drink and drink and drink until they are absolutely crap-faced. So that way, when they go to the bars, they don't have to pay, because these kids don't have a lot of money. So they buy Wild Turkey, they buy these, you know, stiff drinks, beer, and they drink until they're already sloshed before they go out. That's what happened in the Riley Strain case. Then they go to out. I think he ordered maybe one drink. And he's absolutely so intoxicated. His blood alcohol was through the roof. We see the video of him just staggering down the street. He was wasted by all accounts. And the Cumberland River is extremely dangerous, huge current. The slope that you go down, I don't know if you saw any of the videos, it's treacherous. They didn't have a guard railed off. I think he went down there. I think why a lot of these boys end up dying is they go to urinate. You remember, his pants were unzipped and partially down. I think he went to urinate. Now, some would say, yeah, but you could do it through the fly. Well, he was wasted. So unzips his pants. I think he loses his footing. He goes in. Again, he's found just a ways downstream. He gets hung up in some wreckage and items that were there on the side. He gets hung up there, or my goodness, they might not have ever found him for an extended period of time. Well, what did the parents do? The parents were enraged. The parents were sick. The parents were so sad about their son being gone, just like what we see here. We should expect that. I can't even imagine. I would hope, I would hold myself in the sort of grace that many of the Idaho 4 parents held them in, Gabby Petito, the Schmitz, such character and grace, and in the worst moments of their lives. Ethan's parents, having spoke for a pretty good length of time with his mom, I was just in awe of her. We had such a great personal conversation. And you hope that parents can channel in that way, like the Schmitz, the Petitos, Ethan's parents have. Again, the Gonsalves family, they went through a lot with their daughter. I can't even imagine. Everybody reacts different. But my point is that Riley Strain's parents were incensed. And what did they do? They filed this humongous lawsuit against the bar, against all his friends, his fraternity friends. Like, everybody was listed in this lawsuit. I don't know if you saw it. It was huge. Everybody, they wanted everybody to go down. They wanted money. They wanted to be liable. And a judge threw it out less than a week ago. I've been tracking it and gone. I think the day they threw it out, maybe about a week ago. gone. Because at the end of the day, there is some culpability for that young man that chose to drink, that chose to be in the water. If it's an accident, if it's determined to be an accident, you cannot hold friends because they had a bilge issue with their pump and decided to go back and he didn't want to go. Don't get me wrong. If you look at my very first tweet, I said, let this be a lesson. Don't leave your wingman. And many people came down on me, Jen, how can you be so tough on the friends? And all I'm seeing is young men, young women, if you're going to drink and you are going to be in an environment that is conducive to accidents, which can be anywhere, don't leave somebody, stay behind. Are you going to be held criminally liable? No. Are you even going to be held criminally liable? No. But if you don't think that the Wells's family that's already raised 700 and something thousand, that already has Al Shopton and Crump and Terrell Owens and Kaepernick and, you know, Spike Lee, all this huge money behind them, they are going to hire the best of the best attorneys. And they are going to go after everyone that left him. They're going to go after everyone if they saw him and didn't help him. This is going to be a huge civil case. Trust me. The whole setup is already there. Having an undetermined come back in their autopsy, that's what they needed. They just couldn't have it say accident. If it said accident, it's a harder row to hoe. It's undetermined. This is going to be all about civil litigation and money. Watch, watch, watch. It already is. And at the end of the day, who is talking about Nolan? Even today, who really talked about Nolan? His parents touched on it a little bit. He was funny, the Joker. You know, the dad said that, how much they miss him. That was about 3 minutes. That whole long session. Everything I see on social media, it's not about Nolan, remembering Nolan. What would have Nolan thought about all of this? What would have Riley Strain thought about his parents going after his beloved brothers? These kids make stupid decisions and they leave their wingmen. That doesn't mean they're going to go to prison for it. I'm going to look at chat really quick, and then I'm going to let you all go. My goodness, it's 6:52. Yeah, I mean, you have to watch it because depending on what's said, and it's early, but depending on what's said, there's defamation that could come into it. I totally agree. Let's see. Yeah. I totally agree, Judy. I totally agree. And I speak from the mother of a football player. And again, Nolan played at a small college. He was in his freshman year at a small college. And I am telling you, these boys bind together. He was a wide receiver, so he's going to be tight with his offense. Tight with his offense. Somebody asked, Mary asked if drowning was found. The initial autopsy that preliminarily was discussed by the prosecution found no foul play. And I believe used the exact words drowning. But I want to hold that back. I want to wait until we get the absolute words from what came off the autopsy. I also want to say here on this case, if you don't know it, I found it very interesting that the ME did not report his findings. I mean, they had a huge group on the stage of, civil rights activists, I think the president of the NAACP, I think they even announced it at an NAACP convention, which I thought was odd. I looked in the audience and I counted about 20 people, but I might not have had the best camera angle. There was muffled cheering. It just was so eerie to me that anything would be cheered, that anything would be like a revival atmosphere or like a political convention. They were chanting. I don't know if you have seen it yet, but they were literally, you know, justice for Nolan. Just like, I felt like Crump was up there leading a cheer at a football game. It was bizarre to me. This young man is dead. We're not talking about him. We're talking about race. Anyway, everyone, I want to thank you all so much for being here. And let's keep watching this one closely. And until next time, may justice be served.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.